Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa Uganda with you once again this Lord's Day morning by the gracious will of the Lord. And it's my real joy and great privilege to worship God together with you as we enjoy Him in the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word. Today, once again, we are in Ephesians chapter 5. We're really going to focus on verses 19 and 20. Turn there with me in your Bibles, if you are able to, please. Friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our work. We call it Mission East Africa Uganda at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. My friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Truly, it is a light to our hearts. The entrance of your Word into our hearts brings light, and we are blessed indeed. And so I pray that once again, your Word would be received into hearts that are prepared to receive it, and that your precious Word would come as a light that will guide them and bless them, and edify them, and communicate to them the grace and love and mercy of our great and compassionate God and Father, the great and powerful God, the all-knowing God, the ever-present God, the God who has made all things, the God who has blessed us to send Jesus Christ, His very own Son, to save us. Lord, thank you that through the Word of God we draw near to you. And so, Spirit of God, I pray that you would be present and communicate much grace and light to the hearts of my listeners today once again. And we thank you that you are glorified. You alone have the glory because you alone have the ability to bring light into our hearts, O God, and to reveal once again the glorious truth of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You show us Christ in the Word, and you lead us to trust Him and love Him and magnify Him. How worthy you are, Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God. How glorious, how awesome in every respect you are, gracious Lamb of God. We give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, praise God. Let's begin in verse 18 again, Ephesians 5. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to His Word. And so our focus again briefly this morning is verse 19, and we'll transition into verse 20. Last Lord's Day, We talked about speaking to one another or addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we made a comment about the various types of spiritual singing that is described for us here. We mentioned that there is a distinction between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And yet, the thoughts of the commentator Matthew Poole are very helpful. At this point, let me share them with you here, based upon verse 19. Speaking in opposition to the vain chaff and lewd talkativeness of drunkards over their cups, to yourselves. In Greek, in yourselves, that is, among yourselves, both in church assemblies and families. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Under these names, he comprehends all manner of singing to mutual edification and God's glory. The particular distinction of them is uncertain, but most take psalms to be such as anciently were sung with musical instruments, hymns such as contained only matter of praise, spiritual songs such as were of various matter, doctrinal, prophetical, historical, etc. See Colossians 3:16. Singing and making melody in your heart, not only with your voice, but with inward affection, contrary to the guise of hypocrites, to the Lord, to the glory of God, not for the pleasure of the sense or for gain. Praise God. And so, last Lord's Day, and it's helpful to consider the thoughts of Matthew Poole here, we did say that there is a distinction in the very words and the meaning, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but that there was also a bit of an overlap and sharing of meaning, and this grouping of all of these types of spiritual singing under really the heading of spiritual songs. And so psalms would refer to the Old Testament scripture, the actual book of the Psalms, or as it used to be called, the Psalter, that was commonly sung word by word in churches, and it was the songbook of the ancient Hebrews in their worship of God. And so we said too that we can take the Psalms and set them to appropriate music, which enhances spiritual singing, that is, in singing and speaking to God, as opposed to secular speaking or singing, that is, out of context with God. And so the worship and singing, the speaking that we are to bring to God and to others, to edify others, is to be a spiritual singing and speaking. And we did make the comment that secular songs are inappropriate in spiritual worship, and that our songs must enhance our ability to worship God and edify each other. That's implied. That's really a part of the meaning of spiritual singing. And so I challenged you to consider the issues of singing in the church. Do our songs, do the lyrics, does the beat, does the actual music help us to spiritually connect, to worship God, to spiritually sing and edify others? Or are our songs, or is the beat, or are our lyrics secular and not spiritual? Are they removed from the worship of God? Now, some songs and some beats and some types of delivery, some lyrics are clearly secular. They do not enhance, they do not promote, they do not help us to worship God. That type of song is not to be found in the church. Now, we mentioned too that a song in itself may not be sinful, but it may not be spiritual in its nature or content. And so we must prayerfully, carefully consider this and sing spiritually with the Old Testament principle in our minds that the very music, the very instruments, for instance, the musical instruments that were played in the Hebrew church were set apart to God. They were not to be played in another setting. The very musical instruments could only be played in spiritual worship and were therefore set apart to God. And so we want our singing to be holy and acceptable, set apart to God. And so we must consider these things and make sound decisions, make good decisions. Now, I mentioned to you briefly about the heritage of the great hymns that we have in the Western Church. You of course know that I'm an American. I've been in Uganda for quite some time, but I have before me a hymnal or a hymn book, and this is full of hymns. Some of them are quite old, hundreds and hundreds of years old, perhaps even 600 or 700 years old. Some of them are much more recent, even dating back to the 1900s. Some could even be newer than that, perhaps. But This is a treasury of hymns. These are spiritual songs, and most of them contain a depth of insight, theological truth about God, so that we're not simply, in the singing of these hymns, singing simple statements about God that are not very deep, that are simply repeated over and over again. Now, that's been a criticism of choruses. Choruses have been criticized because they lack a theological depth, and they're simply this repetition. And by the way, it's good to mention this morning by way of caution that at times, secular or pagan music, in fact, many times, quite often, is extremely repetitive. The influence in the music comes through its repetition. And so we must be careful about simply repeating a few words over and over and over again. That's been a criticism of the choruses. And the reason that we would be careful of that and the warning involved in that is that then we can lapse into mere repetition, which can have an influence upon a person, upon their mind and heart, but may not conduce to, again, spiritual worship of God. Our God is such a great and awesome. He is an infinite God in all of His being, in every respect of His nature, that He is worthy of spiritual consideration and depth of truth in His worship. And so if we simply, for instance, were to sing, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good, we are not reflecting to Him, offering to Him the glorious depth of insight that He should receive in holy worship. In other words, our worship is a bit shallow, you see. And so one great aspect of the singing of hymns is that usually the lyrics are not shallow. There is a depth of truth that is communicated. Again, considerations in music and in singing in the church this morning, once again. Now, I did mention a hymn last Lord's Day, and I sang for you, and I'm not a very good singer, but I feel that I want to sing again this Lord's Day, just as an encouragement to you about this hymn. I sang the first lyric, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, but this is a great and awesome lyric, and again, I'm not a very good singer, but just bear with me. This was written by Martin Luther, the great reformer, in 1529. And so the music is beautiful. Of course, we don't have musical accompaniment. I'm singing a cappella, that is, without musical accompaniment. Usually the hymns are better, much better sung with the music, which is beautiful. This is an arrangement that was made back in 1858 by Frederick Hedge. We don't have the music, but this hymn is based upon Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, notice the beauty of the lyrics and notice the depth of insight and notice that this is almost like poetry. This is a beautiful composition. And so this song written by Martin Luther was written to glorify the great and awesome God and to edify His people. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name. From age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen. Praise God. So, again, my friends, please take into consideration the frail singer and the frail singing here, but I think you get the idea that this great hymn written by Martin Luther, dealing with the power and the protection and the glorious provision of God for the believer against evil, touches on a good depth of theological truth, and it communicates theological truth. In other words, it is a song that is worthy, a hymn worthy to be offered up to God. And that's a great principle in the church's decision of the singing of which psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Praise God. And so, my friends, let us continue now in verse number 19 and consider the last part of this verse. Let me read the verse again. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, this phrase, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, speaks of the spiritual aspect of our singing. I mentioned that sometimes when I go to shops in town, I will see workers in the shop. I will hear workers singing Christian songs, and that I always enjoy that. That's always such a blessing to me. At times I sing. I'm sure you sing. We sing in our churches, and we know the songs, and they're in our hearts, and so we sing them. Sometimes we sing at our workplace, during work. Sometimes I've noticed ladies who work in the compound or in the kitchen will sing early in the morning. We could sing at other times during the day. We listen to the radio, for instance, ABC radio, and we hear spiritual songs, perhaps at times hymns and the Psalms set to music. And so as we join in this, as we enjoy and receive the broadcasting of ABC radio, for instance, we are to sing in this way, in a spiritual way. In other words, the melody is to be spiritual, and it is to be a singing from our hearts in the Spirit, a making melody, praise God, to the Lord. Now, Sometimes we sing with musical accompaniment. We could even sing along with the radio to the music, to the singing. At times we sing without musical accompaniment. For instance, in the workplace, we simply sing our song of praise to God. By the way, do that. Praise the Lord. It's a great witness. You are enjoying God. What a great witness that is of the glorious truth of Christ and the joy he gives us. And so all of this is to be done in our hearts, and it's to be done to the Lord. Praise God. To the Lord. He is to be the one that we sing to. We desire that he would firstly hear us. We sing for the benefit of others too, of course, and that's good. It helps others, but we sing for the hearing of the Lord. And in all things, God is deserving of our very best effort. God is truly deserving of quality in our singing and our making melody to the Lord. And so we should aspire to quality in our speaking to God and in our spiritual singing to God. Praise the Lord. Let us aspire to speak better and to grow in our ability to speak better and better to the Lord, and in our ability to sing better to the Lord, that our music will be better and our songs would be better, because it is the Lord himself who is listening. We are singing for him. Praise God. Now, my friends, we want to continue in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we saw in Colossians 3:16 Paul's instruction there that we were to be thankful in all things. Again, we find this here. And I made mention a couple of Lord's days ago that thankfulness is required, because in our thankfulness, we are recognizing, we are acknowledging God, his glorious persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are recognizing his glorious nature. Glory is the Lord's, his alone, praise God. And we are recognizing his goodness as expressed in his giving blessing or benefit to us. And so when we are in our right spiritual minds and we are able to recognize and see the blessing and benefit, and by the way, God is constantly blessing us. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is without limit. His love is strong and steadfast. It is a covenant love. It endures forever for the children of God. His love will not diminish. It cannot change. He will love us with all of his great heart. In light of these great benefits, and that's how God constantly and only relates to us as believers in Christ, praise God. His attitude of heart, his desire, his expression to us is only of mercy, only of grace, only that which is truthful, only of saving love to us, dear friends. Then we must recognize, praise God, when we do this, we are blessed, that God has showered us with benefits. He has blessed us in fact, always in uncountable ways, every day of our salvation. Praise God. God has truly been good to us. It's like the spiritual song says, that we can count our blessings. If we name them one by one, we will see what great things God has done for us. And so the giving of thanks is recognizing, acknowledging God for who he is, and acknowledging and recognizing him for what he has done in his love, mercy, and compassion, in his grace to us in the day. Praise God. And so it is appropriate that we thank Him for His benefits. And so we have this admonition, this instruction, this commandment often in the Bible, and we are in need of receiving it often because we are apt to not recognize God's benefits and blessings and to not give Him thanks always for all things. And so Paul teaches us, and we remember again today, as we find it in many places in the New Testament, throughout the Bible, in fact, that we must give thanks always. First point, always give God thanks. Always give God thanks. And so we should constantly be thankful because God is constantly blessing us. We are constantly receiving benefit from the hand of our God and Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And so we should constantly or always thank God. Praise the Lord. I remember reading the thought, and I believe it's very helpful, and it's quite true that a humble, God-focused, God-centered Christian will always be thankful and will be a very thankful person and will be seen by others to be thankful. Perhaps the opposite of giving thanks always is the tendency we have to complain quite often. Perhaps not always as Christians, but we do complain enough. And we remember that God detested the complaining of the Israelites, for instance, and that God is not pleased with our complaining. We have that teaching in the New Testament. And this is something that God truly dislikes strongly. He hates. It's an abomination to Him. And so we complain when we forget God and we forget His benefits, which are true and real. They come to us whether we remember them or not. The giving of thanks is being heavenly minded and remembering God and remembering His benefits. And in light of that glorious truth that He is God, we are not God, that we are the sheep of His pasture, we are the people God Himself attends to constantly, we are to return thanksgiving to God for His praise, for His glory. Amen. And so we must give thanks always. Let us not complain, but let us always look and see the glorious nature of God and see His glorious benefits, which we truly enjoy, if we will but consider for a moment the blessing and the benefit that we have at this very moment, and then return thanks always. And then secondly, this morning, we are to give thanks constantly or always for all things to God the Father. Now, this is a great and glorious truth. This simply means that everything our God and Father brings to pass regarding us is to be thanked for. Now, praise the Lord. We are to thank Him for all things. Praise God. Our time is going, and I really feel like I'm just getting started here, but we'll continue next Lord's Day. There's a wonderful truth that I want to communicate to you about thanking God for all things. But let me just share very quickly this morning that this means that God, the great sovereign, the ruler of all things, is constantly benefiting us, even through painful or difficult times, even through trials. And yet we must be aware of His goodness in all things, even the painful, difficult trials. And we must thank Him for all things, even the painful and difficult trials. Well, God willing, we'll talk more about that next Lord's Day, but let's close in prayer now. Father, You are a great God, awesome, and we do thank You now. And we pray that You will help us to remember to thank You through the course of this good Lord's Day. and to thank you for all things, because all things come to us through your hand of grace and saving love and covenant faithfulness, your steadfast, compassionate, merciful, gracious care for us. Thank you for attending to us in all things. And so we thank you for all things now, Father. And so bless my friends, Lord. Help them to grow in the knowledge of what spiritual singing means and entails, and help them to be thankful always and for all things. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving praise to you, God our Father. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.